Lord, our morning worship, as David said when he raised his hands up to you, that you need to see that as his morning worship that he brings towards you. We ask you for your guidance, Lord, and as we raise our hands this morning in worship, it is our sacrifice to you. Because the least we can do is to sacrifice our own lives unto you. To lay down the me, myself, and I, so that we can make space for you, your Son, and your Spirit. That you can fill our lives and fill our hearts and give us peace this morning. And Father, I ask you that you will open our hearts and open our ears this morning so that we can hear your word and we can hear what you want to share with us this morning. And I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will lead us in everything we do today. Because we're here because of you, and we're here for you, because it's everything is about you. And it's not about us. It's only about you. And we thank you for that. And we thank you in the name of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. Let me just take this away, otherwise I'm going to damage the cable. The theme for this morning is Holy Spirit. Now, we are going into an interesting phase of the year. And I hope that the kids understand English. I'm sure they do. And I want to ask them, and if you don't, I'll ask it in Afrikaans as well, if any one of the children can tell me what is significant about this month of May, this month we're going into now. Wie van die kinders kan vir my vertel wat is belangrik aan hierdie maand, aan my maand? Wat gebeur hierdie maand? Nee. En party mense se lewens is dit blykbaar baie belangrik dat daar Moedersdag is. Erin? That's it. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're going into the month, and this month, in the Hebrew calendar, it's a different month, but in the month of May, in the Gregorian calendar, it is an interesting time because we are going into a time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It will be the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. And if you remember what happened at the Feast of Pentecost, it is so amazing, is that God gave his word. But he also poured his spirit out upon men on the same day. And it is, isn't it amazing that we can't separate the word and the spirit from each other? They go together, and I want to show you that this morning when I talk to you a little bit about the Holy Spirit. So today starts a series on Holy Spirit. I'm going to take the next few weeks to talk to you about Holy Spirit. And the next few Sundays we're going to look at what Holy Spirit is all about. And I would like to provide you a little bit more of an in-depth knowledge and teaching on Holy Spirit. And you've probably noticed this morning that I've said on Holy Spirit, and I didn't call him the Holy Spirit, but just Holy Spirit. And that is quite an interesting aspect of the whole process, because why would I do that? Why would I call him Holy Spirit and not the Holy Spirit? Because we need to understand who Holy Spirit is. We often speak about the Holy Spirit as a what and not as a who. Have you noticed that? How many times do we speak about Holy Spirit and it's something there? It is something that we can use and something that we can utilize, but we never speak about the Holy Spirit or about Holy Spirit as him or a person. You see, when we talk to an object, we add the before it. And I understand and I know that when we read the scriptures and in most places in the scripture, it talks about the Holy Spirit. But it is actually just Holy Spirit. Because if I take a chair as an example, I won't say to Megan, bring chair to me. I would say bring the chair to me. Because I'm talking about an object. A chair is an object. And in the same way, I would not speak to a person and add the before a person's name. Because when I call Sonia or I talk to Megan or to anyone here and I speak to you about Sonia, I don't say the Sonia. Am I right? I talk about Sonia. You see, just in the same way as we need to look at Holy Spirit as a person. And I think too many times we look at Holy Spirit as something just out there. Something we can use. But you see, He's a person. He's part of God's Trinity. He is part of the Holy Trinity of Abba Father. Because when we say it, we say Father, Son, and Spirit. Or Father, Spirit, and Son. It was quite amazing when I was preparing this message to you. The Lord kept on showing me an image of an egg. And the more He showed me the image of the egg, because we sometimes try and explain, and I've used the egg before, you know, previously in a message to explain to you what you know the triunity is all about, what the Trinity is. And when we look at the Trinity, we talk about Father, Son, and Spirit. Just as we talk about ourselves as body, spirit, and soul. It forms one entity because we can't separate those from each other. We can't separate. I cannot take your body and remove your spirit and remove your soul from your body. Well, some people can do some of that, but that's another story. That's not godly. But we can't really do that. Because it is one entity. It is one principle that we talk about. It is when I talk about you, it includes everything of you. Just as when we talk about Abba Father, when we talk about Yahweh, and we talk about Yeshua, and we talk about Holy Spirit, it is one entity. You cannot separate them. And the more God started showing me this picture of the egg, the more intriguing it became. Because have you ever taken an egg, a boiled egg, and cut it in half? With a shell still on it. And the moment I was looking for a picture of this on the internet, and there's not really a nice picture of an egg being dissected. So when I started looking at it, and the more I looked at it, the more God shared this image with me. And He took me back to the beginning, and He took me back to the tabernacle. And you remember the tabernacle, what the tabernacle looks like? Because if you look at an egg and you look at the shell on the outside, the shell is like the outer court. And what happens at the outer court? You see, we cannot enter into the tabernacle of God. We cannot enter into the presence of God unless we go through Him that was broken for you and I. You see, we cannot have access to the egg unless we go through the shell which is broken. So that we can have access to the rest of the shell or of the egg. Just as Jesus Christ, Yeshua, was broken so that you and I can have access into the holiness and to God's holiness, into His presence. And then we get the white of the shell, and when we look at the white of the eggshell or of the egg, that to me is like the holy place. And what happened in the holy place? You see, in the holy place is where the Holy Spirit started working with us and in us so that we can become righteous so that we can enter into the presence of God. And the yoke is where all the value of the egg lies. Because you see, when an egg hatches, the yolk is there to feed the little chick. And without the yolk, there won't be a chicken. You see, that is where everything comes from. That is where everything originates. And we need to break through all of those processes. We need to break through all of those levels so that we can get into the presence of Abba Father. And just as you can't take an egg and call, you know, separate all those things from the egg and call it different things, you know, we sometimes call it the shell, the white of the egg, and the yolk. But it is one idea, it is one thing, it is one entity, just as God and Yeshua and His Spirit is one entity. You see, before we can start to investigate the work of the Holy Spirit, because so many times we are focused on the work of the Holy Spirit, But before we can get there, and before we can focus on the work of the Holy Spirit, we need to get to know the Holy Spirit. We need to know who He is. We need to know what He is there for. We need to know why God left Him here on earth when Jesus was taken away, why He left Holy Spirit for us to take care of us. But you see, we are so focused on the work of the Holy Spirit, or the work of Holy Spirit, that we do not know Him and we don't understand Him and we don't have an intimate relationship with Holy Spirit. See, we all want the work and the gifts of the Spirit, but do we really know Him? Every time that I speak to somebody, and every time that somebody, when somebody asks me to pray for them and say, "Can you please pray that I would receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit?" Now, I can't give it to them, but I can pray, and I can ask Jesus to actually give the gift of the Holy Spirit to somebody. But we are so focused on His work. We are so focused on the gifts. And I sometimes have to sit and wonder, do we really know who He is? Do we understand who He is? Or do we just want something that can help us in a time of need? You see, we must understand that just as Yeshua and Yahweh are one, so the Holy Spirit is one with them. And John describes this probably the best of all. And when you read in John 1, John 5, verse 7, he says the following. He says, "For there are three bearing witness in heaven." And I'm going to read this again. You must read this carefully. And I don't know if you guys have different versions of the Bible. So I normally use two versions of the Bible. The one is the King James, and the other one is the literal translation of the Bible. The one that comes directly, that is written directly from the original scripture. If you have a different translation, I dare you to look for this verse in your Bible, because it's not there. They've left it out of the new translations, and I'll tell you why they leave it out of the new translations. Let me read this to you. It says, "For there are three bearing witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." Do you know that this is the only verse in the entire Bible that confirms the unity and the Trinity of Abba Father? Nowhere else in the Word is it this clear. And when we look at the new translations, they are trying to write this out of the Word, so that we don't understand and have an understanding of the Trinity and the unity of Father, Son, and Spirit. You see, together the three forms the Godhead. It is impossible to understand that Holy Spirit is not a mysterious and wonderful power that we, in our weakness, can get hold of and use. And it's almost like some of us use God. We carry on with our lives and we forget about the Lord, and then when something goes wrong, we call out to Him. And then when nothing happens, we blame Him for not working in our lives and not doing something for us. You see, He's not a butler on call. He needs to become part of our lives. He needs to become one with us as well. We need to know Him intimately, as just as we know the Holy Spirit intimately. Because the Holy Spirit is a real person. And it is infinitely holy, infinitely wise, infinitely mighty, and infinitely tender. See, the interesting thing about this is it is not us using Him, but the Holy Spirit using us to fulfill the work that Yeshua has called us to do. Because He sent the Holy Spirit to reveal who He is, so that we can understand. Holy Spirit is not just an influence from our Father, but a real person, just as Jesus Himself, who is an ever-present friend and helper living within you and I. Now, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit has specific characteristics. But the one most important to all of us is not all the characteristics, but what we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit and God are one. And that is the most important part. Just as Christ and Father is one, so we need to understand that Holy Spirit and Abba Father are one. There are quite a few verses, and we've just read in 1 John, I've read to you, that describes the unity, the triunity of Jesus, the Son, Holy Spirit, and Abba Father. But I would like to share a couple of more with you. And what a better place to start than in the beginning, when God created everything. And in Genesis 1 verse 1 and 2 it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth being without form and empty, and darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moving gently on the face of the water." You see, God created, and God was there, and His Spirit was there at exactly the same time. And as we read it, God is Spirit. So it means that His Spirit, and what Moses is trying to tell us, just as John tried to tell us that God, that Abba Father and Spirit is one, so Moses tells us that God and Spirit and Father are one. You see, we cannot split God from His Spirit, just as you cannot split yourself from your Spirit. They are one just as you are one. It is impossible to split them. Peter comes and he testifies to this as well when he addresses Ananias. And I don't know if you remember the story. And the story goes that Ananias and his wife sold a piece of land. And they came to Peter and they said to Peter, "Peter, we're giving you all the money from the land we give unto you for the work of Yeshua." But he actually lied because he kept some money back. And then Peter says to him, and Holy Spirit revealed this to Peter. And then Peter speaks to Ananias and he says, "But Peter said to Ananias, 'Ananias, why did Satan fill your heart for you to lie to the Holy Spirit and to secretly keep back from the price of the land? Remaining, did it not remain yours? And being sold, was it not in your authority? Why is it that this action was put into your heart? You did not lie to men, but you lied to God.'" And there Peter makes the connection between lying to the Spirit and lying to God. You see, because when we lie to God, or we lie to the Spirit, to Holy Spirit, we're lying to God as well. It cannot be separated. It is one. The two of them are one. You see, in order to lie to the Holy Spirit, he needs to be a person. You cannot lie to an object. Have you tried to lie to the chair? Doesn't work. You have to lie to a person. It is impossible to lie to an object. You see, David also knew that Abba Father and his Spirit were one, or still are one. In Psalm 139, verse 7 to 8, he writes, "Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your face? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there." And what David is trying to tell us is that God and Spirit are one, and that they are everywhere. But he also states in that one sentence that we read there, he also states that just as God is omnipresent, so Holy Spirit is omnipresent. And therefore, every characteristic that God has, Holy Spirit has. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. He's exactly what God is. And you know what is amazing is that Holy Spirit also contains certain characteristics. And there are certain characteristics that are only ascribed to people, to a person. And I would like to share some of these with you. The first is Holy Spirit has knowledge. And I'll read this to you in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 to 11. It says, "But God revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man within him? So also no one has known the things of God except the Spirit of God." See, he knows everything. He has knowledge. Holy Spirit has a will. And in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 11, we read the following. It says, "But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing separately to each as He wills." This is an important verse for us to remember, because when we carry on with this series and we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit and we talk about what the gifts of Holy Spirits are, we need to understand this specific, because no man can impart the gifts of the Holy Spirit unto you. Because Holy Spirit gives it as He wills. Not as anybody else. Not as man. You know what is amazing to me? And so many times I read about or I see and I see advertisements of some preacher that is coming along and then they say, he will impart His Spirit onto you. Well, I have a problem with that. I don't want His Spirit. Because I don't know what His Spirit is like. The moment somebody says that I'm going to impart my Spirit onto you, be careful. You see, I can pray that Jesus imparts His Spirit onto you and ask Jesus that He imparts His Spirit onto you. But I cannot impart my Spirit onto you. I cannot impart the Holy Spirit onto you. It is not mine to give. It is in His will, and only He will give you the gifts that He thinks are relevant for you to use. It is not for me and you to decide. That is in the Spirit's will, not in my will. It is what Jesus wills for you, not what man wills for you. And we need to understand that. And as I say, as we go, continue with this teaching on Holy Spirit throughout the next few Sundays, it's something that we need to understand and keep in mind. Where it comes from. Who gives the Spirit? Romans 8:27 says, tells us that Holy Spirit has a mind. It says, but the one searching the hearts know what it is, the mind of the Spirit, because He petitions on behalf of the saints according to God. He has love. Romans 15:30. But I exhort you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. You see, by the love of the Spirit. Objects can't love. A person loves. And therefore, Holy Spirit is a person. And the more we read these verses, and there are so many of them, the more we understand that Holy Spirit is a Him. Is a person that we need to know, that we need to build relationship with, that we need to understand. Holy Spirit is intelligent. In Nehemiah 9 verse 20 it says, you also gave your good Spirit to teach them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. In order for us to teach, in order for anybody to teach anybody else, there needs to be intelligence. And therefore we can understand and we can know that Holy Spirit is intelligent. And then we get to a level where we understand that He has emotion. You see, because we have emotion. And when we start looking at this in Ephesians 4:30, it says He is able to grieve. It reads and it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. And that describes His emotion, because we can grieve the Holy Spirit. He can speak. And there are many verses that tells us this. And the one that I would like to highlight to you is in Acts 13 verse 2. And it says, and while they were doing service to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. He was actually speaking to them. So then separate both Barnabas and Saul to me for the work to which I have called them to do. He speaks to us. And sometimes we need to be quiet. So that we can hear His voice. And then we can hear when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So many times we become so busy. We are so busy with the things around us. We are so busy with work. We are so busy with our homes, with our children, with our husbands, with our wives. We are so busy with sport and all these other things. And we don't take time out to sit down in the presence of the Lord and clear our minds. Not clear your mind like in meditation. Please don't go there. But clear your mind from the clutter and start focusing on Abba Father and start focusing on the Holy Spirit and on Yeshua so that we can start to hear the voice of Holy Spirit when He speaks to us. Yeshua confirms that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in Revelation 2 verse 7. He says, the one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. And then He says something very interesting. He says, to the one overcoming, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And isn't it amazing that we come to the last book in the Bible, and Jesus comes and He takes something from the first book, which is Genesis. And he talks about the tree of life because God told us that there were two trees in the midst of the garden. And one of those trees was the tree of life. And Yeshua links that in the end and he says, to the one overcoming, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And who is the tree of life? It's Yeshua himself. So that we can take in what he has to give to us. So that we can understand. You see, you can't, just as you can't separate Holy Spirit from Father and from Yeshua, you cannot separate the Word and say, that was something that happened in the beginning, this is something in the past, because he comes and he links the whole process together. He links Torah to Revelation. How amazing is that? Not only does Holy Spirit speak to us, but he also hears. And in John 16:13, he says, and I'm just going to read this verse again, but when that one comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak for himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will announce the coming things to you. This is important. I'm going to read a verse later on where we see why this is important. That Holy Spirit doesn't just speak anything, but he only speaks what he hears from the Father. Do you remember that Yeshua, was when he was talking to his disciples, he also said to them that all I tell you and all I say to you and all I do, I hear and I see from the Father, because nothing comes out of myself, but it only comes what I hear from Abba Father. It is exactly the same process. It is exactly the same principle. You see, what I've shared with you here is just a fraction of the characteristics and the attributes of Holy Spirit. He's so much more than we can understand or that we can fathom. He's bigger than anything that we can imagine in our lives. Not just something that we can grab onto and use when we need it. He needs to be part of our lives. He needs to fill our lives. Because you see, Jesus came and he gave him to us and he said he will reside within us. And when Holy Spirit lives within you, you cannot ignore him anymore. See, we need to know him as we know Jesus and as we know Abba Father. We need to have an intimate relationship with him. And you know what the sad thing is that most Christians only know the Holy Spirit for two things. We know the Holy Spirit, or we know Holy Spirit for the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit. And if you ask anybody anything else about the Spirit, it's difficult for them to tell you more about the Spirit than all we know about the fruit and the gifts that he provides. Here's a sad thing, is that we all want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but how many of us actually yearns to live according to the fruit of the Spirit? Isn't that where we're supposed to start? Shouldn't we start with the fruit of the Spirit and live the fruit of the Spirit before we get into the works of the Spirit? See, but we desire the work. We need to desire the fruit first before we can get to the work of the Spirit. See, we know what he is about, but we don't know him. We don't have an intimate relationship with him. And this morning I want to make a statement that unless you have an intimate relationship with Holy Spirit, you will not be able to walk in the Spirit and you will not be able to flow in the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. Unless you have an intimate relationship with Holy Spirit, you will not be able to walk in the Spirit and you will not be able to flow in the Spirit. Because unless we have a relationship with him, we only use him when we want to use him. No, it's different, guys. What needs to happen is we need to give our bodies and our lives to Holy Spirit and say, here I am, use me. Do you remember Samuel when he said to God, here I am, Lord. Use me. That's what we're supposed to do with Holy Spirit and say, here I am, Holy Spirit. Use me as you want. Not as I want. See, it is time that we spend more time with him to get to know him intimately. Just like we are supposed to know Abba Father and Yeshua intimately. We cannot have a relationship, an intimate relationship just with Father. And we cannot have an intimate relationship just with Yeshua, just with the Son. Or we can't just have an intimate relationship just with Holy Spirit. It is one being. We need to have a relationship with all three so that we can flow and we can understand what is required from us. You see, when Yeshua left to take up his authority next to Abba Father, he left the Holy Spirit to take care of us. And therefore, if he left his Holy Spirit to take care of us, shouldn't we be knowing our caretaker? Shouldn't we know who he is? Shouldn't we know every characteristic, every function, every responsibility that he has towards us? John 14, verse 16 to 17 says, "And I will petition the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may remain with you to the age, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him." And this is Jesus himself speaking to us. He says, you see, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, and the world cannot accept the Holy Spirit because they don't know him and they don't see him. See, we need to know him. We need to be intimate with him. And then we can start seeing him in how he uses us. And then we can see his works through us. And then Jesus says to us, he says, "But you know him, for he abides with you and shall be in you." And my question this morning to all of us, can we really say with confidence that we know Holy Spirit and that he's within us? You see, unless we know Holy Spirit, we cannot receive what he is to provide us with. We need to know him intimately. It's amazing. Holy Spirit also has many functions to fulfill. And this is quite, when you start reading about all these functions, and I'm going to list a few of those functions to you, but I want to encourage you, and do this as a project. Go and sit and understand and go and look at the functions of the Holy Spirit. And as I said earlier, we only know him for two things, for the fruit and the gifts. But there are so much more that the Holy Spirit is. There's so much more that he brings to us. There are so many more functions and responsibilities that he has. And I would like to go through them with you. And the first is, he instructs, he teaches, and he reveals. He counsels, and he guides. Just want to, just go to the next slide. You'll see it builds up. John 16, and when I get back to the guides, John 16, 13, I've read this to you before, but here he says, "But when the one comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you in all truth." So Holy Spirit guides us. He intercedes and he assists in prayer. He comforts. He commissions to service. He convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And this is really important for me and you to know, that he convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Because the moment we read John 16, verse 8 to 11, it says, "And having come, that one will convict the world concerning sin, and concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment." These are the words of Jesus himself. He says, concerning sin, because they do not believe into me. And concerning righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. You see, Satan has been judged already, and we need to know that. The only way that he can have power over you and I is when we allow him power, because he has already been judged. Holy Spirit gives power and boldness. He testifies that we are children of God, and he testifies of Yeshua. John 15 to verse 26 says, "And when the Comforter comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, that one will witness concerning me." And this is really important for us to understand, is that Holy Spirit does not witness about himself, but he witnesses about Yeshua. Just as you and I need to witness about Yeshua and Jesus Christ, so the Holy Spirit witnesses about Yeshua, not about himself. He empowers us to have victory over the flesh. He imparts life, hope, joy, love, skill, and physical and spiritual strength. And in Ephesians 3:16, he tells us about the strength that he actually gives us. It says that he may give you according to the riches of his glory by his power to become mighty in the inward man through his spirit. That is where our source of power comes from, is from Holy Spirit, not from anywhere else. And when Jesus says to us in Philippians 4:13, he says that we can do everything through the power that he gives us. And how does he give us that power? The power comes from his Holy Spirit, and he gives us the power through his Spirit. You see, isn't that just amazing? Isn't it amazing the functions that the Holy Spirit has within your and my life? And these are just a fraction of the functions and the responsibilities that he has and that he imparts on us. Now, if this is what he does for us, don't you think it's time that we get to know him intimately? That we have a relationship with him, that we understand that he's a person, and that we have to have relationship. You see, so often we allow other people to influence our lives. And you know, there are many ways that we allow people to influence our lives. It could be through the books we read or through magazines that we read. And so many times somebody would come to me, and specifically within the corporate world. I've seen so many times that somebody comes to me and says, "Oh, you must read this book. It will change your life." What my first question is, "You mean the Bible?" "Oh, no. I've got this other book by somebody else that will change your life." No. You see, we need to allow Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to change our lives. Not through what other people tells us, but through what God tells us in his word. We get influenced by movies. We get influenced by television. We get influenced by music. This past week, I read an article about the influence that music has on the youth of today. It is frightening. It is absolutely frightening. And there's a, I'll try and find it, but there's a video clip that I saw of the person who actually started this whole rock and roll movement. And his words were, "If we can control the youth, we can control the world. And the one way that we can control the youth is through our music." Through music. You see, we shouldn't be allowed to let music influence our lives. We need to get the Holy Spirit to influence our lives. You see, we are supposed to let him influence our lives positively in obedience and in righteousness to Abba Father, to God. There's a gentleman, I don't know if you know him, a guy by the name of Frank Viola. And Frank Viola wrote something that just echoes what I've been trying to say to you this morning. And he wrote the following. He says, "The Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus Christ and to his body. The Spirit reveals Christ to us, gives us his life, and makes Christ alive in us. The Spirit takes the experience of Jesus, his incarnation, ministry, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, and brings them into our own experience. Because of the Holy Spirit, the history of Jesus Christ becomes our story and our experience." And then he ends this bit and he says, "Unfortunately, some movements have become known for their excess in regards to the Holy Spirit's work." And what Frank Viola is saying here is that so many people are just focusing on the work of the Holy Spirit instead of the influence that Holy Spirit should have within our lives. And that he witnesses about Jesus Christ. That everything that is in the Word, we cannot understand this book unless we understand Holy Spirit, unless he reveals what is in this book to us. You see, the moment you open this book and you just read it without Holy Spirit, it just becomes words on pages. But when you read it with the Holy Spirit, with the writer himself, then it has meaning. Then there's revelation. Then we understand what he is trying to tell us. We cannot do it without Holy Spirit, and we cannot focus just on one part of Holy Spirit. You see, we need to get him to know him first before we can actually understand the works that he does through us. So our focus should be on Holy Spirit for who he is and not what he can do for us. When you know him, then you can receive all his gifts and everything else he has in store for you. Because he is God, he is a person, and he is wanting to have an intimate relationship with each one of us. You know what is quite amazing? Some time ago, the Holy Spirit revealed something about the Trinity, and we were talking about the Trinity and how you cannot separate Abba Father, how you cannot separate God and Yeshua from Holy Spirit. That they're all one, and that is what forms the Trinity. And he revealed this to me one day, and I would like to share this with you. I don't know if I have shared this with you before, but to me it was just so amazing when I realized this. It gives a deeper meaning and a deeper insight into the importance of Yahweh's Trinity. You see, first of all, we must understand that God is love and he is spirit, because that is what the word tells us, that God is love and God is spirit. But what he's all about is he's all about relationship. Everywhere when we read the Bible from Genesis right through to Revelation, he wants relationship with you and I. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the whole Bible was written in marital terms. The whole Bible is written as though this is a marriage covenant that we have with his son. Because it is all about family, it is all about relationship, and it's all about intimacy with him and with his son and with his spirit. What is so amazing about this whole process is that he instituted marriage, and then he commanded us to be fruitful and multiply. So God wanted us to have family. He wanted us to be part of a family, because family is important. And therefore, he tells us that through his son, we become his children. We become part of his family. You know what's amazing? When you look at family and you read the word of God, he actually gives purpose to every person within the family. There is a function that everyone in the family has. There's a role that each one of us has to play. And when you take a marriage and you look at husband and wife and the child or the children, every single one in that process has a function that needs to be fulfilled and that God gave us. You see, he starts off with the father. And the father's role in the marriage and the father's role in the family is to give identity to his children. He needs to give them a sense of belonging. He needs to give them somebody to identify with. You know, and when we do our marriage seminar, we talk a lot about this, about the roles of the father and the roles of the mother within the family. You see, a child needs to know from his father that he is loved or she is loved. They need to know what their identity is within that family. And unless a father is present, it is difficult for a son to identify with a father, to identify what his role should be once he gets married. You see, any daughter or any woman should know, hear the first time that somebody loves her, that a man loves her, is from her father. Have you ever seen in a family that a mother treats the children completely different to what the father treats the children? Because when the son runs past the dad, he grabs him and he says to him, come, let's wrestle on the carpet. Let's go kick the ball outside. Let's go do some manly things. You see, and then the son starts to identify with that process and knows that he is a man in the house. And I don't know about you, but I only have a daughter. And when she was little, it was the nicest thing to just pick her up and just cuddle and give her a kiss and tell her how beautiful she is and how I love her. And she needs to identify with that, because a father gives identity just as Abba Father gives us identity to know who we are within him and what our process is. And then the mother's role in the family is to nurture, to take care, to be the caretaker. And whose role is that in the triunity of God? And that is the role of the Holy Spirit. That is Holy Spirit's role, to nurture, to take care of each one of us. Because that is what Yeshua said He will do when He sends Holy Spirit. So the function of the mother in the family is exactly the same function as what the Holy Spirit has in the triunity of God. And then our siblings, our brothers and sisters, what is their role? You see, their role is for friendship. It is important sometimes when you look at families and you look at how children operate with one another, you won't say that they're supposed to be friends. But that is really why God created family, so that we can understand friendship. And that is what Yeshua came to give us. That is what Jesus came to give us, because He called us His friends. Do you remember when He told the disciples that? He said, from now on, I will call you my friend. And then in John, I think it's John 15, verse 13. I don't have that on the board, but John 15, verse 13, He talks about, there is no greater love than this, when a man lays down his life for a friend. And what did Jesus come to do? He laid down His life for His friends. You see, the role of Yeshua is the role of friendship. The role that we have with our siblings, and this is what the Lord revealed to me. He says, this is my grace, that I know that you will always identify with somebody within your family. And therefore I have given you Father, Son, and Spirit, so that you can always identify with me. Regardless of your situation within your home, regardless of your upbringing, but there will always be somebody that you can identify with. And that is my grace to you, as that is how I'm going to pull you in into my family, so that I can care for you. You see, if we had problems in our homes to identify with Father, we will have problems identifying with Abba Father. If we had issues identifying with our mothers in our family, we will have problems identifying with Holy Spirit in our families. And if we had problems with our siblings, we will have problems identifying with Yeshua. And therefore, God has given us all three, so that regardless of what happens in your life, you will always be able to identify with one of the people, one of the persons within the Godhead, within the Trinity of Abba Father. He will always make it possible for you to enter into His family. He is amazing. See, that is what grace is all about. That is what He wants to do for each one of us, is to pull us in into His family, so that we can have a sense of belonging and that we can know that we belong to Him. And then He gives us His Holy Spirit to teach us, to care for us, to guide us into His will and what He wants for every one of us. So what I'm going to do during the next few weeks is I'm going to look at all the aspects of Holy Spirit. And this morning I just wanted to make you understand that Holy Spirit is a person and that Holy Spirit is God. You see, once we understand that, and once we understand that He's God and that He is a person and that we can have relationship with Him, we can move on to the next step. And now we can understand what His works are all about, what His fruit is all about. And this will lead us in to the 24th of May. And the 24th of May is Shavuot, or Pentecost. That is when the Holy Spirit was poured upon men. But it is also the time when Abba Father gave us His word, when He gave us Torah, when He revealed His will and His instructions to Moses. And there's synergy between the two happenings. And when you go read the two happenings, go read it. When He gave His word, and you'll see what happened on the mountain. And when you go and read and see what happened on when he poured His Spirit upon men, when they were all sitting in the upper room at the temple, you will understand that it is exactly the same process that took place. We cannot have word without spirit. And if you go and read Revelation 19, verse 13, it says who the word is, and it says, and he talks about he who sits on the white horse with his cloak or his robe dipped in blood. And who is that? That is Yeshua. That is Jesus Christ. And then it says in the following, and it says, and his name is the Word of God. And therefore we cannot separate God's Word from who he is, from who Yeshua is, and from his Holy Spirit. It is all one. It is all one. It is impossible for you and I to separate that. And hopefully through these next few weeks, we will get to know Holy Spirit intimately. Understand who he is and understand what he actually wants to give to all of us. And it is my prayer this morning to you, or for you, is that you will get to know him intimately. And that you will not separate Holy Spirit from Yeshua or from Abba Father. But that they will become one in your life. Abba Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can know that you have given us your Holy Spirit to take care of us, to nurture us, to be with us, to guide us, to teach us. Lord, there's so many functions that Holy Spirit has in our lives. And I ask, Lord, that you will open our eyes to see each one of those functions and that we can understand how indebted we are to you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that we can know that you are one with Spirit and with Son. And that when we build relationship with you, we also build relationship with your Son, and we also build relationship with your Holy Spirit. Father, help us not to see the Holy Spirit as just something that we can use whenever we need it, but that your Holy Spirit will become part of our lives, part of our being, part of who we are, so that you can lead us into righteousness, so that you can lead us through your Spirit into obedience. Because that is what you call from each one of us, is that we will obey you and that we will be obedient to you. Father, I ask you that you will open our hearts this morning and receive what you want to give us. Receive your teaching, but also receive your Spirit this morning. And I pray that in the holy name of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.